I'm sitting here with Allende, and welcome.
Thank you.
First of all, tell me why you call yourself Allende and not your real name.
Okay, so my real name is Oren Haney. I usually go by the alias Allende Ryan. And the issue is very simple. I started blogging in 2004 while I was still serving in the army. Now, the army has some, how to put it, interesting rules about information disclosure. So, you know, how many guns do you have is not something that you're supposed to say. But one of the problems with the army is also that you have rules, you have stupid rules, and then you have the, you got to be kidding me rules. So, the information disclosure rule is one of those, because I know of at least one incident where a guy was court-martialed for blogging about a sitcom. He posted a review about some chapter, and you're going to court-martial.
Wow.
For the Information Disclosure Act.
Wow.
Why was that secret? I don't know. I actually checked that with the Army Legal Department, which isn't an effort, but never mind. And they couldn't answer me either.
Okay.
But it happened. So
it's a top secret.
Yeah, it's top secret to know what some grunt thinks about some TV show. Okay, yeah, I told you. You got to be kidding me.
Yes, yes.
That's
yes.
One of those.
Okay.
So I made a decision. You know what? I want to talk about software. What I'm doing in the Army had about as little to do with software as possible. So do I want to take the risk that some nutso will make a decision that Orange thought about a .NET framework 2.0 beta 1 would be considered a top secret military military information, and then
yeah, you would be banned.
Yeah, and then I would have, oh my god, I now have to face the defense of the realm act or something like that.
Yeah.
So then I say, okay, let's try to figure out a way that this won't happen. So I started using an alias. The problem with using an alias is that I used it for over a year before I came out and said, okay, now I'm out of the army, this is who I am, this is what I am, and this is what I've been doing all this time. And that was a year and a half, almost a year. Well, everyone already knew me. I said, Graham, I'm writing a book right now. Actually, I just finished writing the book.
Mm-hmm.
And the book, in the auto field, there is Ian Graham. I say, okay, so I'm calling the publisher and saying, okay, you know, yeah, Ian Rain is now a brand. So yeah, put it there so people recognize it. And say, but I want my name there too. Say, oh, no problem. We just need a co-authorship agreement with Oren. So I'm like, that might be pretty hard to do.
Oh, great.
Yeah, okay. So I find it awkward at times to have two names.
Yeah, I see.
Here's another example. We are now in Ordev, so the room was reserved under Ian Drain, and the budget I have is Oren Haney. So I literally don't know how to react to that anymore.
That's great.
Yeah.
Great. So I'm going to call you Ian.
Go ahead. It's better than trying to say Oren.
So you've done, you're involved in quite a lot of projects, actually.
Yeah.
Lately, you've done this Uber, what's it called? Uber Profiler.
Yeah, so about a year ago, just a bit more, I was starting to work on I was working with a client, and we were using Hibernate. And I grew frustrated by having to explain to them what I saw in the code. This line of code is going to generate this SQL, and I could see it because I have years and years of experience with using Hibernate. Mm. But they couldn't, so we had to open SQL Profiler. And you ever use SQL Profiler, you know that there are two major problems. A, there are a bunch of stuff going to the database, and you have to stop or filter or whatever, and just scroll. It's very hard to find what your application is actually doing. Second, it just gives you the string. And I don't know about you, but trying to read a SQL string that is on one line or something like that is extremely hard to me.
Yeah.
So I kept having, okay, first, let's find a SQL string, then copy that to a SQL formatter so it could look, and then I can look at see what's going on. And I said, you know what? That's stupid.
Yeah.
I'm doing work that could be automated.
Yes.
So I sat one night with Guinness, and which we'll see why this is important later, and hacked the first version.
Yeah.
Which actually worked.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. Now, the problem was that it looked like a programmer wrote that. So I still have the screenshot somewhere, and it literally looked like, how do I put it? It literally looked a gray on gray on gray.
Yes. The typical programming design.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. So I made a decision that, you know what? I'm going to be smart and recognize my limitation. So I don't know how to do UI, but luckily I had a chance to work with a couple of very talented UI guys. So I contacted a couple of my friends, Christopher Benage and Rob Eisenberg. Both of them are a WPF MVP. And asked them, do you think you want to do that? And they say yes. So I send them the what I had, and they couple of days passed, and they just like, wow. I couldn't believe he did it.
Right.
So, and that was the first. That was the first profiler, and the number profiler, which has been on sale for about a year,
mm-hmm.
been out.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, for about a year.
So the basic idea with that is that you can profile your Inhibernate
application.
Application, yes. Okay.
So basically, the profiler will give you three things.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you a deep view about what kind of database operation your application is doing. So are you executing against what query are you executing? What goes to the cache? What is what sort of a warning and habit is outputting, stuff like that. The second thing, and that's the part that I found most valuable, is that it gives you the association between a log entry or a SQL statement and the piece of code that executed that.
Yeah, that's nice.
In many cases, you find it extremely hard to associate these sorts of things, especially if you try to do something like SQL profiler. There's no association.
No.
So with profiler, you have a stack trace. Oh, here's the stack trace. This is the method. This is the line that caused it to happen. And the third thing is that the SQL that you get isn't just, you know, the SQL string. It's properly formatted. It's a process to give you the SQL in a way that you can just copy that to a management studio and just execute that. You can even look at the query result inline.
Mm.
So that's one side. That's the side of, let me show you what Inhibernate is doing. The other side is, okay, you know what? Most problems that people have when using an ORM are fairly common. You use select n plus one. You don't use transaction properly, stuff like that. It also actually thinks that you can detect automatically. So the profiler is going to look at your behavioral patterns, and then he's going to offer you guidance. Look, I see that in this place you're probably violating a thread safety semantics, and in that place you have a select n plus one, and it gives you a very clear arrow, and if you click on, and there is a link for more information, here's the problem, here's how it's shown, here's how you resolve that. So, and so far that was all for Inhibernate. Now, the interesting bit is that most of the things that I'm talking about here, like select n plus one, is an issue that you have in any data access framework that you have. I don't care if you use stop procedure. You still have to face things like select n plus one or not calling, not using transaction properly, stuff like that. So about a month ago, I started working to see if I can take the same benefits to link to SQL. And I just linked SQL because it's already have the infrastructure that they need to try that. So I think it took one flight of 3 hours. So I was flying, I hacked away that until it worked during that flight. And then, okay, so that was, there is a reason I used the word hack.
Yeah,
because I wrote that, yeah, but this is more like a proof of concept than anything, because now we need to do things like, okay, we need slightly different UI, unique to SQL, use things like data context of session, uh-huh, and stuff like that. And so that required a bunch of work on our side as well, but the major part of being able to connect to just a link to SQL application and give it the SQL that you generate is already here and done. And I'm hope to be able to go with it's now in private beta. I hope to next week to be able to go on public beta. And yesterday I was talking with Julie Lerman, and Julie Lerman is of course the source that you want to go to if you want to talk about entity framework. And she mentioned that she thought that this would be a very useful thing to have for entity framework. So we sat together yesterday in the bar and spent 2 or 3 hours trying to make it work.
Really?
And during that time, we managed to make it work. And
with entity framework?
Entity framework, wow. Yeah. So if you're lucky, I think she's right now having her session.
Yeah.
And if I'm really lucky, she will be able to demo that during her session.
Wow.
Yeah, talk about alpha software.
Yeah.
You're demoing something that was written yesterday in the bar.
Yeah, that's great. So now you have a piece of software that actually works with both in Hibernate, Link to SQL, and possibly also into framework?
Yes, not possibly.
It does. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Based on, yeah, okay. That's great.
Yeah.
Tell me, Jende, you're also a Microsoft MVP?
Yes.
In what category? Do you know?
C-sharp, I think.
C-sharp?
Yeah. C-sharp.
Have you any
idea? No, sorry, I'm not a C-sharp MVP. I'm a visual C-sharp MVP.
Okay.
I'm always amused by the visual part.
The visual, yeah.
Yeah.
I think the MVP program is the only place they actually use Visual C Sharp.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know. But anyways, do you have any clue of on how you got that title?
I was recommended by another MVP for a community activity, which is the blog, the mailing list, stuff like that, or conferences like that. I think that was the main reason.
Yeah.
And I think that I've continued. The MVP program is an award for community activities. That's the public facing side of that. The other side is that we are great ambassadors for Microsoft technologies.
Yes.
So that is why Microsoft want to give us MVP, so we can continue being good ambassadors. But I think that was the reason that I would imagine that the blog is the major part. The decision-making process isn't that public, so
no.
I don't actually have the information about my case.
Do you have any good ideas to people who want to be an MVP? Do you have any guidance?
What are you trying to achieve? That's the major part. If you want, I know that there are some people who want to be MVPs because they consider that a great acronym to stick after the name, so they have a better CV or something like that. And if you want to do that for that, I don't think that this is the best reason, because that's just...
That's too much of an ego.
It's not an ego, it's just
a crass
commercialization.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so most of the time I like to see it as just work with the community, and you'll see that... You see that probably will get an MVP if you work with community enough. I don't want to see the... one of the problems, one of the reasons that I actually like the idea that the MVP program doesn't have a visible bar about who is an MVP or who isn't, is that I don't want to see people trying to game the system. A common example is how do you compensate developers? Well, one easy way of doing that by number of lines of code and number of bugs fixed, right? So that seems like a perfectly reasonable idea to do until you realize what you ask make the developer do. Write lots of bad code and fix a lot of bugs.
Exactly.
So I see some people that are explicitly trying to, how do I put it? They have the most answers, the most... A popular poster in some mailing list. Okay? And most of what they're doing isn't actually providing content, but, just noise, I would say.
Yeah.
So that one I don't like, but most of the MVPs, I think, are doing a tremendous amount of work in the community. You see them fairly active in their community, in the communities. I mean, I'm an MVP in Israel, and I'm mostly not in Israel, mostly not doing most of my work in Israel.
It is funny, now you mentioned the community, and a really a great community at this time, at this moment, is Stack Overflow.
Mm-hmm.
Do you use Stack Overflow?
No.
No?
No. To be very more exact, I would answer the occasional inhabited question there.
Okay.
The problem is that it's gotten to the point where I literally cannot manage my own time anymore if I'm trying to outreach to other things. So about 60-70% of my inbox get a read the title just go away.
Okay.
Trying to think what would happen if I actually kept track of Stack Overflow as well. Yeah. I wouldn't have time to breathe. I mean, sleep is overrated anyway, so I gave that up. But breathing is sort of important.
That's great. Andy, we have to stop here, but it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.